Well, hello and welcome to the Simpleton Podcast, episode 18. My name is Daniel James, and joining me as always from Berlin, Germany, is Scott Bartholomew's Gaul. Scott, how are you?
Wait a moment. Oh, you know what I've done, Daniel? You know what I've done?
What have you done?
You know how when you print something out, you pick it up and the last page is on top? I'm staring at the last page. I had no idea how to answer that.
Oh, you stupid prick.
Just wait a moment. Wait a moment. Now I'm rearranging. How many pages? Shit, Daniel. How many pages have we got here today?
Mind your language,
one
please.
Stuck. And here, Daniel, oh, listen, I'm all right. All right. Had a long answer prepared, but that's already long enough. How are you?
I'm quite good, Scott. Here in Melbourne, it's evening time. I'm in my evening wear in my service department and waiting incredulously for a wonderful podcast, which is about to ensue.
Is it just you there, Daniel?
Yes, me, Scott. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I thought I heard a background murmur or something, but must be just
you. That's your head playing tricks on you, you stupid old bastard. Scott, the world roundup.
Yes, Lesotho.
Scott.
Yeah?
Yeah. Hang on. I'm supposed to ask you what you've got for us this week. Scott, what have you got for us in the world roundup this week?
Lesotho, Daniel, is that the correct pronunciation of the Southern African nation of that name?
Yes.
It is the focus of our world roundup today. It's a country you know a lot about and have an intimate knowledge of. Tell us about your past association with that country, please, Daniel.
I was formerly a diamond trader in the Besaid country back from 2003 to about 2005. Wonderful
country.
That was about the time Leonardo DiCaprio was there filming Black Diamond. That's absolutely right. Also spent a few evenings with Naomi Campbell, if you remember correctly, Scott. She was subsequently called War Trial Tribunal to try one of those Southern African nations' presidents. Wonderful girl. Leo was a good guy. Had a bit of fun with him. Loves to play golf.
That sounded uncomfortable.
I was trying to straighten it up.
That sounds even more uncompromising.
Leo and Naomi, fantastic people. Nothing sinister about it at all. Wonderful country. Its main trading, of course, is in diamonds and also water. It's one of the few countries in Southern Africa that has a plentiful supply of fresh water, even though it's a landlocked nation, Scott. But get on with your roundup. Yes, please.
I will. Just a little tidbit for you. It was in that film that you mentioned in which Leonardo DiCaprio made film history with his famous line, "I may be king, a young king, but I am king, ordained by God." Enough of that, Daniel.
No, Scott, that is totally wrong. That was the man in the iron mask.
Let's agree to disagree on that one. Anyway, I'll move on. I saw the film recently, Daniel. I might be old, but I'm not that old. Home Affairs Minister Zhuang Malapo last week swore in a number of previously non-native residents to the status of full citizenship in that country. But the Ethiopian refugee, what was his name, Daniel? That businessman?
Eyob Asami.
Yes, he will not be one of them, despite a high court decision he should be sworn in. Have you ever met Mr. Asami, Daniel?
I had an intimate dinner with him one night while I was in the diamond trading business. Nice chap, pretty full-on facial hair, but besides that, left a lot of soup on his beard. But besides that, a lovely chap.
Good details, Daniel. The government of Lesotho has so far refused to grant him citizenship due to suspicions that he is involved in people trafficking. They maintain that no decision can be made on this issue until all court options have been exhausted. Daniel, whether he is guilty of said accusations or not, that's something we cannot be sure of. But the argument is essentially between those who believe no decision should be made while the accusations remain outstanding and those that believe he should be granted citizenship here and now in the spirit of that whole innocent until proven guilty thing, especially given the benefits he has brought to the local economy through his What's the pronunciation of the next word, Daniel?
Lesotho.
No, entrepreneurship. You're
sorry. Sorry, I totally misread that. No, you're right. It doesn't have an L in it. It is actually entrepreneurship. Thank you.
Yeah. No comment on that one, Daniel. Yeah, I'll be pleading the Switzerland. Pardon?
Shut up. Just get on with it.
Yeah, I'll be pleading the Switzerland clause on this one. But while on the subject of business in Lesotho, I do have a burning question for you, given your past links with the country, Daniel. Just what is the deal with the Taba to Tseka route project, which was built by the Nathana brothers-owned Lesotho Consolidated Construction Company a mere few months ago, but is already showing signs of major wear and tear? Just what is the deal with that one, Daniel?
They tried to make the road out of clay instead of bitumen, Scott. But can I just go on here and say that this is a complete waste of everyone's fucking time? You might as well be talking about filling in potholes in the Strathbogie Shire. This is about how much interest it has for anyone else. Can we just wrap this up and get the fuck on with the rest of the podcast?
We can do just that. We can do just that. And I suggest we wrap the fuck up and move on with the rest of the podcast.
Scott, I believe that you have some sort of documentary that you've prepared for us earlier in the week.
Daniel, simpletons, you believe correctly, Daniel. You sometimes do that. I made note of that last week. Yes. Shall I just launch straight into it? I'll launch straight into it.
Yes, please.
With a nationwide average of 38 steaming dog turds per square meter, Germany has the highest dog turd density in the developed world. For this reason, as well as others, going for a walk does not necessarily have the same leisurely connotation to it as it might have in a place like Australia. So, where does one go when they want to get away from it all? Shut up, Daniel. Rhetorical, say nothing. Well, I can't speak for everyone, but in my neck of the woods, there is the perfect getaway. A stone's throw from here is the so-called Schlosspark, translated Castle Park. In the shadow of a centuries-old castle which now serves as a district administration, the park was originally a garden for the Princess of Oranien, who inhabited the castle back in the 17th century. Sealed off from the riffraff, it is now a large and well-maintained natural area requiring an entrance fee. Stinking dogs, brain-dead drug-addicted teenagers, as well as marauding chaotic hordes of bicycle riders are nowhere to be seen within the park. Instead, one may walk at their own leisure, free from the less desirable elements just mentioned, and enjoy the rich native flora and fauna that make up the general ecosystem to be found within the confines of said park. But now, let me take you for a little guided tour. Upon entering the precinct, one must only proceed along the first tree-lined path for 100 meters or so and turn left in order to reach the first point of interest, the largest body of water within the precinct. The pond, today stocked with goldfish, is both quaint and ornamental and has apparently changed little over the course of time. It was here that the princess spent many a day indulging her passion, churning up the waters on her twin-engine jet ski. Now, though, the air was filled only by the distant sounds of hustle and bustle as I walked up to the edge of the water and fixed my eyes on its inhabitants just beneath the surface of the water. The goldfish in Germany are flesh eaters, and I would pity anyone who fell into the water. I take out my Swiss Army knife, make a cut across my hand, lean over and let a drop of blood fall into the water. The reaction to this could only be described as a frenzy. There are several ways to go from the pond, but I go straight further into the heart of the ecosystem. I soon notice them on my right. They are numerous, almost too numerous to count. Molehills. I take cover behind a tree and look over them, anxious to see if anything would happen. I don't have to wait long at all. A deer slowly makes its way through the field, dangerously oblivious to what awaits it near the tree line on the far side of the field. There is no mole to be seen, but after the deer traverses the myriad of molehills, it is set upon by a group of red squirrels who had been lying in wait and evidently watching it for several minutes already. The deer turns around and tries to flee, but it is too late. It is quickly run down and literally eaten alive by up to 24 squirrels. It is agonizing to watch, but I decide not to intervene. This is nature at its most brutal, but nature is and always will be nature, and I have no right to interfere. I walk further into the park where the foliage is at its thickest. Then I hear it. I take pause and I listen intensely. The German woodpecker is slightly bigger than the average one, and its beak and pecking action are decidedly more powerful. I make a right turn in the heart of the park and head for the somewhat more open territory. It is here that a number of long canals play host to an extensive array of carp and frogs. As I cross my first footbridge, I see a school of carp on my right side, swimming towards my left. They are making the long journey to the other end of the canal, some 200 meters away, where they plan to spawn. But not all of them will make it. As the school slowly progresses, I look up into the sky, and then I see it. A black and grey crow has gotten itself into a diving position, ready to make its move. At its height, the diving crew reaches speeds of up to 1,800 kilometers per hour, smashing the sound barrier. In this case, it slows itself enough just before impacting the water, picks up a carp in its claws, swims about 10 meters underwater, and emerges with its prey, flying back off towards the treed area of the precinct. The entire action is over within a second, with the water momentarily churning as the crow flies off, its prey wriggling and violently kicking in a vain attempt to free itself from the clutches of its killer. I leave the Schlosspark knowing that with autumn now in full swing, many of its inhabitants, like the crow, will soon be heading into a lengthy hibernation period. But until then, the ecosystem will continue to offer the visitor some raw nature at its brutal best.
Thanks for that, Scott. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go on.
Did you drop one or two tabs of acid before you went for a walk in that park that day? This is just a community park, a natural reserve in the middle of the city, much like Melbourne's Botanical Gardens. I don't mean to be pessimistic, but geez, that was just fucking full of shit. It really was quite spectacularly awful.
Yeah. You think you built my own little hoops up and you're being inquisitive. The moment that I heard you say, "Can I ask you a question?" I knew it was going to end along these lines, Daniel. And I've got no comebacks left, Daniel. No comebacks left. You are a seriously angry, cynical man. And the way that you've just reacted then shows you need to get yourself to a psychiatrist, Daniel. You've got some serious issues to talk through,
I've been there and done that, Scott, and still I find no way to wade myself through your bullshit. Scott, the fact that the crow, the bespoke crow, you claimed it went through the sound barrier by travelling downward at a very quick way at 1,800 kilometres per hour.
Yeah, I saw it. I don't claim I saw it.
You sure you didn't see a crow sort of like swooping and not hearing a car backfiring in the background and you mistook that as a sonic boom?
Yeah. Daniel, you haven't served in the Air Force like I have. Not everyone knows how a sonic boom...
You've been on a few intercontinental flights between Europe and Australia. that does not qualify you for being in the Air Force. And Lufthansa is an airline, not Luftwaffe, which was the former Nazi German Air Force.
Hello, this is Prince Philip, and you're listening to the Simpleton Podcast.
Daniel, I believe you have got something for us today. I believe correctly. It says so on the running sheet. What have you got?
Sorry, I'm not really sure what you're talking about.
Daniel, how are you feeling now?
What do you mean, Scott?
Well, I understand you had a little bit of a nasty fall.
Oh, that. That's ancient history, my friend. I'm totally fine. I'd forgotten all about it. Anyway, Scott, let's move on to listeners' letters.
No, Daniel, I think this requires further explanation. And indeed, an explanation for all of the simpletons out there wondering what the blazes it is that we are talking about. Simpletons, Daniel is for once in his unspectacular existence being quite humble. Simpletons, you may not know this, but Daniel has a keen passion for Les Héros à la France, or better known to the laymen like you and me as the Southern Hairy-Nosed Grey Wombat. To raise much-needed funds to establish a wombat sanctuary just outside of the regional centre of Ruffy, and I'll be discussing that at the end of this blurb too, Daniel, in southeastern Australia, Daniel agreed to perform a high-wire walk across Gurum Falls, a set of falls, interesting turn of phrase, outside of the rural township of Gurum Gurum Gong, which is also in southeastern Australia. Daniel, I believe the event was regional center of Ruffy. It's not even a town. There's not even a pub. There was a school that closed once it hit about the 4-student mark a few years back. Hardly a regional center, Daniel.
Scott, it's a regional. It's regional and it has a postcode and it's situated in Southeast Australia. What is inaccurate about that?
I stand corrected. That's a very good point. And just one other little point. The Gurum Falls, Daniel, when you hear of stunts or actions being undertaken near falls, you tend to think of Angel Falls, Niagara Falls. Ones with a fairly hefty drop. If I'm not mistaken, the Gurum Falls are more horizontal than vertical. But perhaps to be fair, there's a drop of 1 to 2 meters right at the end. That aside, though, Daniel, I believe the event was simulcast live on WinTV Shepparton and Radio 102.5 Fun FM Longwood.
Yes.
Let's roll the tape. Thank you, Chris Eddy, and welcome back to Gurum Falls for this live special where local media celebrity and podcast entrepreneur Daniel James is attempting to walk unaided on a tightrope across the falls. Okay, we have a quick chance now to speak to Daniel. Daniel. Mr. James, many thanks for having a brief word with us. How are you feeling?
I feel good. I feel strong. I feel strong to very strong. This is for a good cause. There's a good crowd here today.
Yes, there looks to be 8 or 9 people here. Some of them local fishermen. Does having so many eyes fixed on you make you nervous at all, Daniel?
No, not at all. It's almost like there's no one here at all. I can't concentrate on them right now. I've just got to focus on getting across that 6 meters of rope before daylight fades.
This is now your 5th attempt. Your last attempt was aborted after the wind blew your cape over your head about a meter into your walk. How has that affected your confidence levels, if at all, Mr. James?
It was a bit of a shock at first and totally disorientating, but one can't allow these mishaps to affect one too much.
I see. And I see you're still wearing the cape, but this time you've just got Speedos on and you have also donned a stack hat. Are these just added precautions?
I never wanted to wear the helmet, but my insurance company insisted, so there you have it. The wind's up again today, so you can see, but I've always thought that the wind was just a state of mind. Anyway, I best get up onto the platform.
Thanks, Daniel. There goes Daniel James, about to perform a very brave act for a very special cause. In fact, we have Pesky, Gurum's resident wombat, here today. There he is. Okay, Wait. Daniel is saying something now.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming here today. Your support is almost as valuable to me as the support of this rope. How fitting it is that we stand here in the shadows of Mount Wombat as we try to save its namesake from extinction. With your generous support and the generous support of my sponsor, Montmorency Rope Supplies, no rope is too long or too short, we have been able to raise $45.70 for this important cause. The money will go towards constructing over a meter of fence, depending on the type of fence. So give yourself all a round of applause. Before I step out onto the rope, I want you to all know that if I shall fall, the first aid kit is in the back of the blue Mazda 6, parked over there. Yeah, that one. No, that's an Esky. No, it should be under the driver's seat. No. No, at the back. No, I don't want it now. Just put it over there. Just to remind you all once again what this is all about, will someone please hand me Pesky? Thank you. I hold Pesky to the sun and pray to the spirits that haunt this proud land.
Oh, my goodness. Daniel has accidentally dropped Pesky into the falls, and he himself, in an apparent attempt to catch Pesky, has fallen onto the rope, which has in turn snapped. There is no sign of Pesky. People are now wading into the treacherous waters, at times ankle deep, to try and find some signs of life. Daniel is writhing around in agony on a rock by the banks of the falls. He is now up and hobbling about. Chris, I think we'd better cut back to you in the studio. And we'll let you know more as this story unfolds.
Yeah, so that was that, Scott.
I just want to ask you something. What came of Pesky? What became of Pesky?
Pesky is still missing. But if anyone in the Murray Goulburn catchment sees a wombat with a blue sash around what can only be described as a neck, I suppose, that's more likely to be Pesky than any other wombat in the area.
And the harsh reality is, Daniel, that in an endeavor, a sincere endeavor to raise awareness of the threat of extinction for this species, you've actually contributed to it, quite possibly.
Scott, a great philosopher once told me that the biggest risk in life is to never take a risk at all.
I have a suspicion who that is. If I named him, most of our audience, besides people based in Victoria, wouldn't know who it is. Was it a sporting man?
Correct.
Now in his 70s?
Correct.
Yeah, Ron Barassi. That was Ron Barassi, wasn't it?
Yeah. But look, it's for a good cause, and what is the sacrifice of one wombat for the greater population? That's my point.
You're right. A great philosopher once said, "One death is a tragedy; a million is a statistic." Daniel, and
that wasn't a philosopher. That was a cold-hearted dictator by the name of Joseph Stalin. But anyway, Scott, shall we move on to listeners' letters?
We shall move. Yes. Let's say yes.
Yes. Thank you. Dear listener, we cannot do this podcast without you, and your support and value commitment to us week in, week out is of much, much, much great value to both Scott and I. You can email us your thoughts and your wisdom to contact@thesimpleton.com.au Likewise, you can leave a pithy one-liner comment on thesimpleton.com.au by the various posts that we use to promote this particular podcast, or you can go to www.thefacebook.com.au/thesimpleton. So, Scott, I believe you have the first letter.
Yeah, that's right, Daniel. That's right.
Are you still eating noodles?
No, Daniel, I plead guilty. I put them down. I said I'd put them down till the end, but I see that red chili sauce just sort of glistening. It was irresistible, and couldn't help myself. But you have my word. I won't have any more for a few minutes.
Thank you.
And now, letter one. This is from one T Bangers of Northcote. Where's Northcote, Daniel?
It's just north of Cote.
That actually wasn't too bad. Thank Usually you. those are lame, but that one wasn't too bad.
Thank you.
If there were people there with you, I'd ask them if they thought that was a good gag, but no one there with you.
But there's no one here with me, Scott. So.
He writes, "Greetings and salutations to both of you fine gentlemen. I am a fellow traveller. I am on the same journey as both you." I suppose he meant as both of you, but he wrote as both you. We don't know what the destination is.
Must have been a typo on his behalf.
Yeah, must have been. We don't know what the destination is yet, and we may not get there, but we know we must keep trying for the sake of all humanity. Good luck, my brothers in arms. May your days be filled with love and light as we continue along this dark and lonely road, tea bangers of Northcote. All right, I suppose that was a compliment. Thank you. That aside, no idea what he was on about.
Doesn't really value add to anything at all.
Adds nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But adds absolutely nothing. But, yeah.
Yes.
Good luck to him. It said here that you're supposed to provide commentary. Was that it?
That was it, Scott. What else are you supposed to say about that? There's nothing else to add.
All right. Little bit anticlimactic, but I suppose it's time for me to invite you, Daniel, to read the second letter.
Yeah, seamless. Are you eating again?
No, there was still a shoot of what's it called? Alfalfa between my teeth.
Alfalfa. Alfalfa. Where are you from? Fucking Nuffville? Alfalfa, I think you mean, you fucking tall, lanky streak of shit. Anyway, I've got the second letter, Scott. And this second letter comes from Marsalis Harper of Ontario, Canada. You know where Ontario, Canada is, Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Marsalis Marsalis writes, "Take it from me. Take care." Thank you very much for that, Marsalis, and write back anytime you like. Thanks very much.
Yeah, a question for you, Daniel. Marsalis, never heard the name before, but sounds female. Was it a female?
No, it's a male name, Scott. It kind of sounds Caribbean to me in a funny sort of way. I noticed that the Caribbean letters have dropped off somewhat in recent weeks, but...
they have dropped off, yeah.
Marsalis, what was his surname?
Harper.
That can only be a Caribbean name. He must have immigrated far north to Canada. Scott, I believe that you have the third letter.
That is correct, Daniel. We'll go straight into letter three. It's from Michelle Punter of Thornbury, which is where, Daniel? Where is Thornbury?
It's in Melbourne, Australia's northern, well, in a northern suburb, Scott. Not that anyone gives a fuck.
And she writes, she writes, "Seriously, what are you thinking? If the doors can't close, then the tram is full. It's that friggin' simple. It's not like this is the last tram. There will be more, you stupid fuckers." That's what she wrote. Burma, that's what she wrote. "Oh, you might have to wait 3 minutes. And why are you so desperate to get onto this tram anyhow? I don't get it. We've all either got our faces squashed into someone's armpit or crutch, or breathing body odors leaching from unknown origins that I'd rather not think about. And don't get me started on the poor people who are trying to get off." This is in brackets. "It's probably not even their stop, but they can't stand the smell any longer!" Exclamation mark. Close bracket. "If you let them off, then maybe there might be some room for you. It's not fucking rocket science. Piss off and wait for the next tram, you idiots. With many exclamation marks. That was from Michelle Punter of Thornbury. I haven't been to Melbourne for years, Daniel, so I don't know what the situation is there. Have you got something to say?
No, that sounds pretty much par for the course. I don't really know what Michelle wants us to do about it. This is not talkback radio. This is not something where we can get the Premier and the Minister on to discuss these issues at length and get a policy change. But thanks anyway for the letter, Michelle.
Stop the presses. Stop the presses, Daniel. You said about 2 minutes ago that the Caribbean letters have dried up. One has just appeared in my inbox.
Oh, dear.
That is incredible.
That is a fucking coincidence.
That is amazing, isn't it? Should I read it out or are we out of time?
I'd like to say we're out of time, but read it out anyway, Scott.
Okay. Let me just bring it up. So, this one is from Apex Zenith, and he is from French Guiana. And Apex writes, "It's all about the bacon, guys." Well, thank you. Oh. Thank you, Apex.
Thank you for making us stop the presses there, Scott. That was just a wonderful insight. You know what, Scott? I think it's time we wrap this podcast up, put in a warm blanket and sit at home. What do you think?
I agree with that. I've been meaning to ask you one thing, and there was no opportune time. I'll ask you now. We are in sponsorship dire straits, but I remember a few years back we ran a spot for the Declackerizer. Are we still getting money from them?
We're getting royalties from them. We wrote and created the Declackerizer adverts, and every time it's played somewhere in the world, whether it be on Demos Direct or the television shopping network, we get a few cents trickle into our pockets, but it's hardly enough to keep us going, Scott. That's what you're asking?
That answers my question adequately. Thanks, Daniel. So now you can go into your concluding segue.
Scott, is there anything that you see on the week ahead, on the horizon for us, the people of Earth? Is there anything that you can see that we on Earth here, the people, should be aware of?
Yeah, watch out for Bazza. I reckon sparks are about to fly in Mumbai. That's all I've got to say. And what about you?
I likewise would say look out for Bazza, but I'm speaking, of course, of Baz Luhrmann, who has delayed the production of, well, not the production, but the release of film The Great Gatsby, because he wanted to be in Oscar contention next year. So just keep an eye on Bazza as well. Anyway, Scott, I would like to thank you very much for your time. I'd like to thank the simpletons that are left for their time. And goodbye.
I'd like to thank the three of you for your time and also the simpletons for your time. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.